than there were for the 8th and 9th, 15th study anyway. I can give thanks about that. And let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting the Holy Spirit, and you've made the trouble to get up, get dressed, get here. So let's be sure that it's glorifying to Christ in the power of His Spirit. We had an interesting study in the first study in regard to the communion service. You can actually partake of the Eucharist cup and the bread, and if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're headed for a special divine discipline from God for not taking it properly. So you want to be sure that whatever we do, people, you can give, pray, witness, do wonderful things. If it's in the power of the flesh, it's not glorifying to Christ. You want to glorify Christ, it must be in the power of His Spirit. That's why we were given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at the moment of point of faith in Christ, so that we could do this. We have the power to do it. That's how we're like the new covenant in the millennium in that one respect. Not in all respects, but in that one respect, we're like the new covenant in that we have the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit, which they will have. And they didn't have that in the Old Testament. They had the power of the Holy Spirit, but not the permanent indwelling. You and I have been gifted the grace of the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So everything we do, we want to be in the power of the Spirit so it glorifies Him. So with these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for a morning of worship. Father, how grateful we are for this humble assembly and the opportunities You give us to worship You. And we pray, Father, now that all that we do in the next few moments here in this assembly will be glorifying to Christ, glorifying to You in the power of Your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's sing.
My master say.
much more praiseworthy. Okay, let's go through some pertinent announcements. First of all, need to be in prayer for Jim, Nell Langston, and Jeff Langston, and their family. They're with the Springfield, Missouri, for the funeral service of Jim's brother, Don, who had a service yesterday, and we sent some flowers from Spring Valley Bible Church, and we are in prayer for the entire family. And also yesterday, Martha's father, memorial service was yesterday outside of Bryan College Station. And they had requested that in lieu of flowers, that money be given to the Liberty Youth Camp. So, church, we're going to send $100 in the church's name to Liberty Youth Camp for that, and our family will send it. If you'd like to send anything, please designate it to Liberty Youth Camp in care of Martha's father, whose name has slipped me, Blevins. And, yes. Yeah. All right. Check, we could check out to Spring Valley Bible Church, Youth Ministries, and then for a memorial to Martha's father. Good. And you were going to say, hon?
What Leslie said.
Oh, you said that. Yeah. All right. Good. All right, y'all were like-minded. So, but let's be in prayer for Martha and her family. Be in prayer for Jim Langston. Be in prayer for the Langstons as they travel home today from Springfield, Missouri. And just be in prayer. It's got to be really tough on Jim at his age and brother's age and his other family members the same age. So just be in prayer for Jim Langston and Nanelle at this time, and be in prayer for Martha and her family. Now, is there any prayer that I'm not aware of that needs to be brought up? Yes.
We're going to be traveling next weekend, going up to Kansas City, just safe travels, and pray that my mom and dad are okay while I'm gone.
Okay. Are they ill?
My dad has dementia.
Okay.
It's getting worse.
All
right. So I haven't mentioned it before. It's hard for me to drop it out.
Definitely be in prayer.
Okay.
All right. Be in prayer for your dad and your mom. Kansas City.
Yep.
Have you been to the old World War One Museum?
Absolutely.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that was great.
That is one of the best World War One museums going.
Yeah, we want to take the grandkids there. They're like 5.5 and 4.
I don't know about that. Yeah,
she's 4 years old. She's a total girl, too.
She may not get into that
question.
My cousin would really dig it.
Yeah.
Well, that 4-year-old might get into the cave walking, the dungeon, the holes and all that, fox holes and all
like
that. Yeah, he probably like that. Very good. All right. Yes?
My dad goes in for his surgery Friday morning.
This coming Friday?
Yeah.
And what is the extent of the surgery?
Well, he's having part of his colon taken out.
Oh.
The colon cancer. So he should be in the hospital 3 to 4 days. Hopefully, that's the standard, you know, and since he's not in the greatest shape, just pray that everything goes as planned and that he's able to recover as scheduled, you know. It's supposed to be not too difficult of a recovery, but in his case, I don't know.
Would it be up at the Texoma Hospital?
No, he's going to be at Baylor, Dallas.
Okay,
yeah,
very good.
Yeah, his doctors are here in Dallas.
Right. Okay. Yes?
A couple of one praise of Thanksgiving and one prayer request. I put up the pictures of all.
I love that. Thank you so much.
And I'll figure out some way to put Liberty Seniors up there. They're not seniors anymore. They're graduates, but I'll put Liberty graduates. Anyway. Continue to be in prayer for them as you walk by, see their faces. Some of them are thriving. Some of them are struggling. All of them are trying to find their spiritual path. I did have the 3 people I talked with. One of them, I sent care packages last week from a group that actually is a spiritual, they put devotions and spiritual notes in with. They're encouraging. I forgot the name of the place, but anyway. I reached out to the kids afterwards and asked, you know, what they thought of their package or whatever. And one of the guys who's very forthcoming with me said, Mrs. Wise, honestly, this is the first, verse or passage that I've read since, that I've been encouraged to read since I've gotten here.
Wow.
So it was very, it was a great conversation. We talked through a little bit about what he's looking for and how maybe to go find it and at UT, which is...
You know, needs it.
So just please continue to be in prayer for these people. They are still staying connected. Which is a wonderful thing. We do hope to see them back with us at Slam Camp and maybe some of them even at summer camp. So them, and then on the younger side, the high schoolers with Ryan's group, just been very interesting to see the dynamics of how that's changed. It's like upsetting the whole apple cart when half the kids leave and what that's going to look like. And it started out a little slow, but it is 17 strong.
Wow, pretty good.
I looked at Ryan, I said, you know, who are these kids? Like, they're not necessarily all the normal kids that I had seen through the years past, but they keep coming back. Even whether Ryan's there or not, they're coming back. I mean, she generates the communication with them, but they're there, they're hearing the gospel. They have a lot of challenges. There's a lot of them that I know have personal struggles going on, and they still come back. So, you know, that's a huge prayer of Thanksgiving. God's using us in spite of us.
That is a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And people, you can be a part of it in prayer. Be in prayer for the Wises. Be in prayer for these young people. Be in prayer for the Daves and the young people that come to y'all's home. And give me one name.
Back here?
Yeah, give me one name. The one you were talking about, somebody.
Cole.
All right. People, in prayer for Cole. You walk out, look at a couple of names. The names. No, you don't know them. God knows them. You can have great impact in people's lives in prayer. We saw in our 9:15 study this morning how someone may be living toward a sin leads unto death. You can actually pray them. Pray that the Holy Spirit so convict them, get them back into living a righteous life. So people, prayer is powerful. I believe in it. I believe in it. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes.
My daughter's birthday is Saturday, and hopefully she'll reply to my...
All right. We will definitely be in prayer. Gigi, thank you for sharing that. Yes.
Quick announcement?
Yeah, absolutely.
So a reminder that the Veterans Day activity November the 12th, in the afternoon, everybody's invited. There's information in the back. You can sit around and watch football as they kneel before the flag, or you can come join us, and we can celebrate the veterans and those that have served. So, love to have you join us. If you are interested in, it's a balloon release. If you're interested in donating or putting names in for the balloon release, we're going to have a balloon for every one of our military members, whether they're active duty, retired, they're deceased. It doesn't matter. If you want to honor a veteran or you want to honor a military member, let us know. We're asking for donations for $5 to cover the cost of things, as well as it's a fundraiser for our youth ministry. But that being said, please join us. We'd love to have you. We're going to have some flag football. So all of y'all that are not quite past your prime yet, love to have you join us. I looked at Steve on that one just for the saying, man. Come on. But also, we're going to have a cookout, and we're going to have a great time just celebrating. But we're going to pray for our veterans. We're going to pray for our country, and we're going to honor them through the balloon release and the flags and the national anthem and whatever else Phil puts together here. So,
do you need any help with food? donation?
Yeah. We're trying. I think we got it.
Okay. So talk to them.
Okay.
Delegation. Awesome. And y'all that are on the internet, there's a form that you can go and actually put the stuff in on the internet. We've sent that out via the church newsletter.
Good.
And so click on that, go through Adam, and then we can take care of it from there. So.
Good. Okay, any other prayer requests? Okay, I have one. And outside of my heart,
I've not really come with prayer requests, but I got a very special one for you. Judith has been dealing with, for several months, if not a year, a problem with her thyroid, and gone to different doctors and different teams, whether she's going to have her thyroid removed. This will be Tuesday, 7 November. Please be in prayer. Now, here's the prayer that we both wish that you would be in prayer for in dealing with the surgeon's hand. It's a very delicate area. A lot of things are around there. First of all, be in prayer, no cancer. They can't really tell yet. They've taken all kinds of tests, but until they get in there, and they will not end the surgery until they know for sure if all the cancer is gone, if there is cancer. So please pray there is no cancer. And secondly, and this one's very important to me, if you could be in prayer that he does not or she does not affect the vocal cord, her singing. I love to hear Judah singing at the house, and she just has been singing praises to the Lord all her life, and that's very disturbing. So please be in prayer in regard to that. And then there's another area back there that transfers calcium that also could be harmed with a thyroid removal. So I'm asking you, please be in prayer. That will be 7 November, Tuesday, and Judith's thyroid will be removed. And I hated that because I've back in my days when I was a fanatic, I was real big on, no, you don't do that with the thyroid. So please be in prayer. Now, having said all of that, Wednesday the 8th of November, I'm not going to be here. I'll be with Judith and will not have had time to get preparation. So, you're going to have a wonderful, and I mean it, a miracle lesson by Kit. Kit is going to do Zephaniah in 1 hour. He's going to do the whole book of Zephaniah and go through it. Some time ago, I gave Kit another speaker's work on Zephaniah, and he missed this, and he didn't get that, and he was wrong. That's what's wrong, but he didn't go live. And I looked at him and said, okay, do it. And so you're ready now, huh? All right. So in 1 hour, on that'll be Wednesday, November the 8th, you can hear the whole book of Zephaniah. I encourage you to read it before that night and then come and listen to it. And you will be wonderfully blessed, I'm sure, if you will do that. So please remember these prayers for our young people and young people at the Wises, the Dagues, and the, what are you calling the, is it a veterans?
Veterans Celebration.
Veterans Celebration. And so much is involved, people. There's so much going bad with our young people today. Rather than complain about it, be in prayer. Support these young people. These young people back here. Young people that care. Trying, struggling to grab hold of a relationship with the Lord. It's got to be rough today. Everything's against you today to walk with the Lord. Some of you know how difficult it is even for you. So just imagine you're a young person, teenager, trying to make Christ the center of your life. So let's be in prayer for all of these. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory. And we have many things to do with our finances, and we're getting ready to kick off a prison ministry, right? Right? Okay. Getting ready to kick that off. So there's a lot to be done. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this humble assembly. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the mountain-high opportunities you give us. Big opportunities. Missionaries, mission fields, our young people in so many different ways, right here in our own assembly, our internet outreach reaches some 31 countries. That's your blessing, not ours. So, Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you'll continue to pour into our cup and to give us another cup. We're ready. You've added now the prison ministry. We're ready. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, we got some special music that you're going to be a part of, but by way of introduction to it, would you open the Bibles to John 20? John 20. Think you'll get away with not coming on Wednesday night? Well, I'm going to get you. John 20. I want you to read with me one verse to begin with and think about what you're reading. You're reading the Word of God, eternal Word of God. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Why is that part of the eternal Word of God? That one little disciple, Thomas, wasn't there when Christ first came and met with them in verse 19 and following. People, that verse and this passage is all about one man, Thomas. Let's take a look. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, he was a twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I shall see his hands, the imprints of the nails," and by the way, that's the only passage where we have nails mentioned in the New Testament. We all talk about how he was nailed on the cross. We don't know that for a fact, except now. Thomas tells us there were nails in his body. All right? Nails. "And put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my entire hand into the side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut or locked, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." Now, all this for one man, Thomas. And I just want to point out one thing on verse 26. Thomas wasted 8 days in unbelief. That was sort of our challenge. Don't waste a day in unbelief. Don't waste a day of your life in unbelief, people. Walk in faith every day. Now, with that in mind, look at Matthew 18. Verse 12. What do you think? What do you think about Thomas? Is he even worth it? The other 11 were there waiting and they were together. Is Thomas worth all of that? Those passages, Christ coming back, special declaration, special, "Here, Thomas, fill my side." Okay, what do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain, and go and search for the one that is straying. And if it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. Thus, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. All right, James.
I want Herman to acknowledge that before the service, I said, would you let me speak first, because what you're going to say is much more important.
And I have some humor in what I'm going to say. He said, that's all right. Go ahead and be humorous. On page 15, 16, and 17, you have the words and music to the 90 and 9. Now, I grew up listening to Billy Graham's soloist singers, and been singing it all my life. And there are five verses. I thought, well, I could have these two sing one, and these. I said, no. And they don't want to have me standing up here singing five verses. So it's going to be a congregation number. It's a wonderful song. I learned from him while I go. Information's in the Bible. So, now, the reason I'm up here talking is because you'll notice at the end, if you're looking at the music part, it says, rejoice for the Lord brings back his own, and rejoice for the Lord brings back. It's repeated. This will be an admission to the first mistake I've ever made in my life. I copied these words from the internet, and they didn't repeat the last line of every verse like the song does. So just assume that there's a repeat this line at the end of every verse, okay? You're now going to sing five verses of this song, and you're not going to have to do it solo because Brian is going to hit a button. I've looked all over for the best rendition I could find.
Now, the reason we're singing all five, pay attention to what you're reading. I was going to do verses 1, 3, and 4, something like that, good old Baptist way. But I sat and read them, and I went, this is fabulous. This whole hymn is one story. So pay attention to what you're singing. Okay.
Understand.
Oh,
mean, isn't that powerful for the prisoners? All right. Okay, does anyone not have Guard Your Freedom? All right, everyone have a copy? All right, does the preacher's wife have a copy? Okay. All right, let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer, test yourself, examine yourself, see if you're worthy, and studying the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes with the hustle and bustle of a life in the big city, we lose the insight that we're in a battle. Not to pay bills, not to meet budgets, but in the spiritual realm of Christ. Pray, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to these things as we study your precious word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Guard your freedom. Guard your marriage. Guard your Christian life in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, we saw how Jesus Christ disarmed Satan and his forces and led them into the triumphal procession that we studied last week. Now, in Colossians 2, 16 through 23, the remainder of the chapter, Satan's counterattack against believers. He is outraged at what happened to him being humiliated in the triumphal procession. Satan and his forces do everything they can to prevent anyone from even believing in Jesus Christ as Savior. But once one gets through that barbed wire and are saved, Satan wages another counterattack. Chapter 2 is about Jesus Christ and about those who are in Christ. You are in a conflict every day of your life. You're in the angelic conflict. Note the warnings of this one chapter in this regard. All through Paul's writings are warnings. One chapter, chapter 2, verse 4. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive arguments. That's what a lot of hotshot preachers are doing. Colossians 2:8. See to it. This means you have to be on guard all the time. No one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deception, according to the tradition of man, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Verse 16. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. And one verse that is very important for all eternity, Colossians 2:18, and I can't wait till we get here. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize, that's at the judgment seat of Christ after the rapture, by delighting in self-abasement and worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Let no one defraud you of your prize at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, overview of the warnings of your Christian life. Let no one delude you by persuasive arguments. Let no one take you captive by false teaching. Let no one defraud you of your prize at the judgment seat of Christ. Paul not only tells us how to prevent these things from happening to us, but also why. Why we should not allow these things to happen to us. Please know that there are a multitude of forces seeking to counter your spiritual life. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Be on guard. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is in daily danger. The first attack, legalism. Legalism. I don't know if I think I've got it in here, but let me just start off by telling you, a little legalism will not hurt you. it will kill you. Just a little. Colossians 2:16. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. The inferential particle translated therefore is used as a transitional conjunction and would give the proper force if we translated it consequently. In view of the victory of Christ in the angelic conflict, in view of his triumphal procession, and due to the fact that you are a partaker of the victory of Christ on the cross, verses 14 to 15, be on guard. Be on guard to live your life in the freedom wherewith you have been set free in Christ. Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. That's the law. Doesn't matter if we're speaking of political freedom in a country or spiritual freedom of an individual. Freedom must be guarded and protected. And it is guarded by not abusing it. People in America are continually losing basic freedoms because we do not protect basic freedoms. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only, introduces a stern warning, do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Once a people learn that they can vote themselves money, that government is down. Once Christians learn they can use their freedom for the satisfaction of their own desires, they're on their way to spiritual collapse. Now let's take a look at verse 16. Therefore, consequently, let no one to act as your judge. We have the present active imperative of the Greek verb krino, which simply means to judge and voice opinions on that given subject. Next, we have a list of areas that were prominent in believers judging one another. People, mostly believers, are judging others based on five categories of taboos in Judaism, listed by Paul. These Christians seek to build their own righteousness, not by the Holy Spirit, by setting up some taboos, then judging others who do not do what they declare is unrighteous. What is so interesting is that in each branch or circle of denomination, they have their own list. Drive down the street, Presbyterian, Methodist Church, Baptist Church, Catholic Church, this church, that church, and then we have all the off-breed churches. We got cowboy churches, we've got backyard churches, we've got warehouse churches, we've got all kinds of churches going on today. What's the difference? What's the difference? It's their list. We've got our list of what you have to do for God. And we got it right here in the Bible. Here a little and there a little. Isaiah 28. Got our list of what you have to do, what you should not be doing. So they have their list. People, mostly believers, are judging based on these five areas of taboos. What is so interesting is that each branch or circle of denomination has their own little list. In one group, you cannot drink, but you can play cards or dice. On another group, you cannot play cards and dice, but you can. It just is amazing. Yeah, what you do today is, let me see, which list do I like best? That's where I'll go to church. Well, let me see. I'm not worried about that, but I like to do that. Okay, I'll go to this group. See? Nobody will judge me if I'm having a drink. Nobody will judge me if I'm playing cards. Nobody will judge me if I dance. Nobody will judge me if I do this. So that's how I'm going to pick my church. What a shame. You should pick it by the teaching of the Word of God. So this is the whole issue in our study. Colossians 2:16. Therefore, consequently, let no one act as your judge in regard to food. Amen. And amen. See? All right. Okay, there are several food prohibitions that existed in the time of Israel and were taken over by the legalists and distorted by the legalists, beginning of the Christian church. Remember, here it is. A little legalism will not hurt you. It'll kill you. First, there were prohibitions under the Mosaic Law, such as prohibitions against eating pork. Secondly, there were prohibitions of any type of food offered to idols. This was a serious problem in the ancient world. While we do not have so much involved in food offered to idols, the principle still remains in effect as per Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians, several chapters in 1 Corinthians. Okay, two. Those believers with a trend from their inherited sin nature toward asceticism. See, we all have an inherited sin nature. Now, you may have been blessed as you think it. Mine's asceticism. I don't do all the rowdy bad things that people do. I don't go hang out at the bar all night. I don't do this and I don't do that. I don't even smell corks. I just live my good life. You think you're so wonderful, but your whole ascetic life is just as sinful as someone who has a lascivious sin nature. They're out raising hell. They're out doing all this other stuff. Neither is more acceptable to God than the other. Neither is more acceptable. So those believers with a trend of their inherited sin nature toward asceticism have always distorted eating or a lack of eating into some system of self-righteousness. Three, this trend toward asceticism nearly always advances fasting. And you'll hear it talked about by different groups today, how important fasting is, claiming that fasting will bring you closer to God. People, it's wise, if you are taken up by fasting, to do a study on fasting in the Bible. They did not have microwave ovens, like they didn't even have modern ovens. In principle, fasting was aimed more at the time that you would spend preparing a meal than in not eating a meal. That's what it was really designed at. It wasn't so much designed at not eating. It's the 2 hours it took to prepare the meal. So you take 2 to 3 hours it took to prepare a meal, and instead you devote that time to prayer and worship and the study of Scripture rather than preparing a meal. So it had its wonderful place. But fasting today, in the sense of just fasting, doesn't bring you closer to God. Now, the time you spend in prayer, if you're in the Spirit, time you spend studying the Word of God in the Spirit, that will bring you closer to God. Point four. All these taboos against eating certain foods and fasting may bring your stomach closer to your backbone, but it will never bring you closer to God. That's just the only way I knew how to word that. It'll help you out physically. It will not necessarily help you out spiritually. All right, point five. In today's world, we still have our own taboos in the health food kick. The United States has the all-time record in abundance of food and having it packaged. And I'm thankful for it. Multitude of other countries do not have packaged food such as we have, and they still have greater numbers of health problems. So there is a trend toward asceticism that distorts eating into a system of spirituality under the banner, what you eat makes you more spiritual or less spiritual. And people, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's a lie. If it is good for you, then it is spiritually beneficial. If it's bad for you, by their standards, then it must be of the devil. See? So they say Bluebell ice cream is of the devil. See? And I kind of hate to say it this way, but read on, devil. I'll follow you to the store and buy a couple of gallons of it. See? All this erroneously assumes that by observing certain food taboos, they're spiritual giants. And by their own adhering to these self-imposed taboos, self-imposed, not biblically imposed, gives them the right to judge those who violate those taboos that they themselves have set up. Six, true biblical issue of the Christian life is feeding on the Word of God. It is not an issue of what foods enter your stomach. The issue is what teaching enters your soul. That's the real issue. Pay close attention to what enters your soul. Philosophy, empty deceptions of verse 8, are the Word of God. Knowledge of Christ, knowledge of God. Matthew 4:4. But he, Jesus Christ, answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found, and I ate them. Excuse me. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and a delight. Somebody tell me why sneezing is always in twos. Not right now, but all right. Okay, your words, Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. Your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart, not my stomach. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Keep thirsty, my friend. John Hintz uses that in his church. That's kind of his slogan. That he ends a lot of, keep thirsty, my friend. And visitors sometimes go, what did he say? What did he say? And you follow the TV ads. All right, Job 23:12. I love this one. I have not departed. Job, first book God gave us, first thing God wanted us to know. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And if that's the food of the Lord, that should be our food. 7.7. The guiding principle on all these taboos is given us by Paul in Romans 14:2-4. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak in biblical understanding eats vegetables only. God, I feel sorry for him on both accounts, that he doesn't have much knowledge and that he eats only vegetables. All right, verse 3. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does eat. Was I just being contemptuous? Oh, I hope not. I'll eat. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. Their own brand of self-righteousness. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him, setting themselves up to be the judging of others. Don't do that. Verse 4, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. The principle is not impose your false standards on others. Yes, people, there are sins. There are sins. We study that under the, you have the courage to love the Lord. But we're not talking about, we're talking about things that people have set up as their own standards. Now, point 8. In our modern world of medicine, we know that some people are allergic to certain foods, and of course it is wisdom for them to refrain from eating those foods. But certainly they should not make a spiritual issue out of what they can and cannot eat, except for the point that if they eat and get sick, this is, of course, will interrupt their spiritual momentum. See? I have friends can gluten-free. Got to have gluten-free. I didn't know what that was. And am I eating gluten or not? And I found out I was, and I liked it. But a lot of people cannot eat gluten. See? And they ought to be aware of that. I can't eat gluten. It's bad for me. It interrupts my spiritual life. People, it's difficult enough to sit and listen to me teach, But if you're sitting there sick, it's really bad. You don't want to do that. You want to be healthy. So you eat healthy according to your own physical makeup. Now, point nine. The eating and drinking issues are related. People, this is all through the Word of God, the reason we're spending this time. The eating and drinking issues are related to the law of love, the law of expediency, and the law of supreme sacrifice taught in 1 Corinthians 8, 8 through 13. In other words, out of love. See, I used to, let me just show you what the difference here is. I have the knowledge. I can drink wine whenever I want. I can drink anything I want, but I just like wine. I have that right before God. And I can drink it anytime I want. Wrong. You don't drink it anytime you want. If it offends a new believer, a weaker believer, it's out. That's the law of love. I don't need the wine. And if I hurt them spiritually, I've done far more harm. So forget it. The law of love says it isn't even worth it. Now, what we're talking about in our passage, and we'll see this, you don't let a believer who's been around a while, who has the false standards, wanting to control your life. Don't do that. But let's say there's new believers, believers you don't know about, where they stand. You do need it. Big deal. That's the law of love. Law of supreme sacrifice. Forget it. I'll just give it up if that's where my call is. But these are individual decisions made by individual believers under the leading of the Holy Spirit, as per 1 Corinthians 8, 8 through 13. All right, point 10. God must have known that this issue with food and drink would find its way into spirituality and legalism, for he covers it all through the Word of God. Let's note some of those. I've always been so thankful that the first test of faith in God was not on sex or drugs or booze, but on food. You could eat of any tree, any fruit in the garden, but one. But one. It's all about food. And Adam and Eve couldn't leave that one tree alone. See? But so let's just see some of the things. And that's from Genesis 1. It goes all the way through the Bible. People have become so wrong in regard to food. Okay, let's pick some of these. Subpoint 1, the guiding principle, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink, and that's talking about wine, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That excludes sin, but we eat and drink to the glory of God. 2, from the beginning, God has made something clear before the flood. Now, I'm going to show you a verse before the flood and then after the flood. Pay attention. Before the flood, Genesis 1, 29. Then God said, so we're in chapter 1, beginning of creation, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is in the surface of all the earth, on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit-yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, to everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. So, in that time frame, wonderful. Wonderful. This is the way it was up to the garden. They ate a lot of salads. See? No chicken salad, just a lot of salads. Spinach salads, that kind of thing, with no dressing. Okay, now, so a little search on Google, and you will find out, this is, I thought was so interesting, you will find out that of the 500,000 known plant species, man has only domesticated about 100 out of 500,000. We only eat about 100 of them. Only about 30 of these that we do eat provide us with 85% of our food and 95% of our protein and calories. Do you realize there were 4,000 more plants out there to eat? Let's go out there and find them. Okay? 75% of all man's food comes from only 8 cereal species: corn, rice, wheat, oats, barley, sorghum, millet, and rye. Of the 4,500 species on Earth, only 16 have been domesticated for man's use. And this article went on to say, get out there and get to work. And it talked about how there are different movements to try different types of plants and desert plants and jungle plants and things and make them nourishable and edible and delicious. Okay. 3. Then after the flood, now that was before the flood, just plants. Then after the flood, God introduced meat eating for us hunters. So next time you want to just degrade meat eating, remember Genesis 9:3. Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give it all to you as I gave the green plant. So God intends us to eat T-bone steaks. He means it. All right? 4. And in reference to spiritualizing of food, 1 Corinthians 8:8. But food will not commend us to God. Put that on your refrigerator door. It will not commend you to God. Now, if you're a girl, it might commend you to some guys, but not to God. See? We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. The Word of God ends legalism related to food. Add to this 1 Timothy 4:4 and 5. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. I don't understand people that don't want to give thanks for eating. I love to do that. About eating with my grandchildren, just the three of them and me. And we had no problem. We bowed our head in prayer, held hands, and were in prayer. Thank God for it. Okay. So, it's with gratitude, received in gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the Word of God and prayer. And prayer sanctifies the food. When I was ministering in Africa, I ate food that I haven't eaten since and probably won't. But there was some alligator. There was there was about 3 or 4 wild animals that they had at this one restaurant. And they would come by and just cut it off. And I like Willoughby. And they would come by and cut it off, and you could have more of this or more of that. And food that I've never had. And I'm not saying I wouldn't want it again. But it's kind of hard to get alligator meat here. But anyway, that's one of those things. Receive with gratitude. I did thank you before I ate it. All right. 5. The biblical principle of eating and drinking is found in Mark 7. After he, Jesus Christ, called the crowd to him, he began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. Okay, this is Jesus Christ speaking. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. I love these guys. They don't interrupt, but, hey, I didn't understand a thing you said. So look what he says in 18. And he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into a man outside cannot defile him? From the outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated. See? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of man, that is what defiles the man. I think Christians should take more concern about their talk than their eating. Verse 22. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. And if this were Paul writing, he'd say, and things like these, in case I missed you. But this pretty much gets us all in some cases. Verse 23, all these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Matthew 25:11 states the principle. It is not what enters into the stomach that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man. Point 6, wisdom for your life, Proverbs 15:17. Better, now this one I have to really concentrate and say, okay, it's the Word of God. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox or a T-bone steak served with hatred. See? I've never been so desperate that I'd eat vegetables with somebody that didn't like the other. But anyway, it's the Word of God. We understand what it's saying. Better to have a little bit with someone that you love than have the great with somebody you don't. Proverbs 17:1 says that. Better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife. Now, if you don't have more than two or three children, you don't even understand that verse. But if you have more than two or three children, you'll understand that verse. All right? 7, further wisdom. Psalm 104:15. And wine, which makes man's hearts glad, so that he may make his face glitten with oil, and food which sustains man's heart. So there's nothing wrong with these things. Ecclesiastes 9:7. Go then, eat your bread in happiness, drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved of what you do. Matthew 6:25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Be careful how you answer that one. All right, point 8. Then, of course, there is the event where Peter was moved out of his legalism into grace. It took quite a movement of God to remove legalism out of Peter. Peter was prone to strong legalism. All right? Acts chapter 10, verse 10. But he, Peter, became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. I've often wondered if you're extremely hungry, extremely tired, which one would overrule? But with Peter, he went into a trance. Okay. And while they were preparing, and he's in his trance, he saw the sky open and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, countering the Lord, no, 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 by no means, Lord. You'll notice that legalists always prefer to argue with the Word of God rather than to give in to the Word of God. For I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean. Can't you hear his self-righteousness? Ever been around people like that? I've never done that. See? Well, I'm so sorry for you. All right? Verse 15. Again a voice came to him a second time. Well, God is cleansed. No longer consider unholy. So, you want to go out and hunt? Go out and hunt. See? 9. Warning as to the end of the church age. Uh-oh. 1 Timothy 4. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, end of the church age, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits, doctrines of demons, by means of hypocrisy, of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods. I'm so glad we're not into that movement. Abstaining from foods, which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For if it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ, constantly nourished on the words of faith and the sound doctrine which you have been following. That's what you want to dwell in. Point 10, closing with food for thought. 1 Corinthians 6:13. Food is for the stomach, amen. And the stomach is for food, amen. But God will do away with both of them. And if you get big like I am, amen. Good. I'm big enough. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Ending with verse 18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement, worship of angels, taking the stand of visions he has made, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. That's Colossians chapter 2. Okay, it's time for lunch. I hope you're ready for it. You're now free to eat whatever you want. And, well, within limits, if you're gluten prone to that, you don't want to do that. But the rest of us, just send your glutens down to our end of the table, and we'll remove them from your sight, and from our sight, too. Well, I want to spend this time because I can spend the whole time on a big doctrine. There's a big doctrine out there on food and eating. I just wanted the Bible to speak. You can make up your own mind. You've seen the verses. You've got them there. You can make up your mind. Don't be defrauded. Don't let somebody trick you into that you're closer to God by your diet. You're closer to God by living in the Holy Spirit, living in the Word of God. That's how you're closer to God. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we close this morning, first of all, in prayer for the Langstons traveling on the highway. Pray them here safely. The Martins, give them safe travel. Father, we pray for our young people. All the names on our back wall here. There's more than enough right there for us to be in prayer for and to support. And we thank you for them. Thank you for very wise giving us those names and pictures. We can relate a face with a name in our prayers and our mailings. Father, we pray all the things that would have been mentioned. Gigi's daughter, Judith's upcoming surgery. So many things are going on, Father. We just pray now that your Spirit will listen to these prayers and hear them. For Christie's father and mother, as they travel this next week. Father, we thank you for this assembly. We thank you so much for your word that guides us in how we should live each day, not worried about the inconsequentials, but devoted to what is important in Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. What's going on with your mother-in-law?
Is that what you asked?
Oh.
She's having a problem.